Ji, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it is now time for the Revida program. Abdul Haq is sitting at the hot seat today. Unfortunately, or should I say fortunately for Maulana Kara, he's not available. But I have with me in the studios Brother Adil, alhamdulillah. So, as usual, as normal, any problems, any queries regarding your motor vehicles, whatever questions you have, whatever hassles you have, alhamdulillah, today I can say the expert is going to answer your question because I'm sitting on the opposite side of the desk. Brother Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana.
MashaAllah, jazakallah.
Maulana Abdullah. Maulana Barakat. No, so used to say Maulana. MashaAllah, Maulana having a good break. Well-deserved break, I think. And I think about the expert, I think he left the studio. I don't think he got scared and left the studio. So the expert no more here. No, inshallah, we are ready for all the questions. Inshallah, we can try and assist you in whatever motor issues you have. Buying a new car, selling your car, having issues with your car, want your car to be serviced, or you want your car to be checked out in any way. Inshallah, we can try and assist you.
Jazakallah, Brother Adil, for that information. Alhamdulillah, as we all know, I think a lot of schools have written their last exams, all the madrasa imtihans have come to an end, Brother Adil. So, inshallah, a lot of people will be hitting the road, as we would say. It's the holiday season, it's the silly season. Obviously, first the first thing we got to take into account is your vehicle roadworthy? Is it in condition to be able to travel a distance? And obviously, the other thing is, as far as your driving is concerned, Brother Adil, maybe if you have some sort of tips for our listeners out there, firstly, obviously, as to have their cars prepared, how to save fuel, and maybe just to add on to that is a lot of road safety.
Gee, Hafiz Abdullah, it's that time of the year again, like we call it, you know, the silly season. Alhamdulillah, lots of people looking forward to having the break. All the kiddies now, mashallah, finished the exams and the madrasa imtihans, and they'll be all hitting the road soon. Everybody excited for their destination. MashaAllah, take everybody safely and bring everybody
Ameen.
Yeah, a few important tips quickly. I know we did do it for over a couple of years now. MashaAllah, by now the car should have been serviced already. But I think there's still another week that they can give you tolerance if you still haven't did or you decided last minute. I think the accommodation, looking around, is not cheap anyway. Obviously, like, you know, the accommodation, I mean, throughout the country in wherever you want to go locally, hotel prices are just out of the roof, you know. It's like crazy. You see the amount of money people are spending on holidays.
But anyway, I actually heard somebody saying 30,000-35,000 rand a week
for a week. Yeah, so and alhamdulillah, but I'm saying, you know, it's a thing that everybody looks forward to every year. And they go for a little break, spend some time with the family, you know, with the wife and children. I mean, the whole year you're busy. So, inshallah, in that way, they to make sure that the car is in a good roadworthy condition, like you explained. And in a few points that I can bring, that can come to my mind right now, to try and leave early, you know, if you're going for your holiday, to try and leave early, preferably after Fajr, you know, the normal duas and salas should be read. And then check the oil levels on your cars. The tire pressure is important to check. The batteries, the lights. If your car hasn't been serviced, then you're going on a trip or the last minute decision. So basically, the basic check is make sure your car is sound in sound. You know, there's no extra unfamiliar noises coming from the engine, from the belts, from the tires, from the braking system. The wipers are in a good condition. I know we haven't had any rain lately, so the wipers could be, with the sun or the heat, could be distorted in any way. So just make sure you spray some of the your windscreen washers under the window and make sure the wipers are cleaning the window properly, the lights are working correctly, the indicators, the safety belts are on correctly, and don't forget to buckle up, wear your safety belt, and be courteous on the road. I know everybody's in a hurry to get to their destination, everybody's excited to go to the holiday spot, but inshallah everybody will get there in no time. Be courteous on the road, respect your fellow drivers, and inshallah also you know, try and take the necessary stops, maybe preferably after 200 kilometers, after 2 hours of driving. And if you're stuck in the traffic or you come into the toll roads and, you know, you have to wait in the queues, so let it be. I mean, just make sabr, play some games or maybe tell the kiddies some jokes. And inshallah, in that way, then we can continue.
Yeah. Brother Adil Asi, you know, it's very important, like you say, be cool and calm and courteous. Obviously, importantly, you know, leaving on time and things like that does make a major difference. Pre-plan your trip also is a very, very important thing. You know, for example, you know, you got your path course, everything. You know, you stop on the side of the road, you can have a little picnic with the family, be relaxed, everything. And more importantly, you know, it's more relaxing to get to your destination relaxed. Just to elaborate on that a little bit more, is if you get somebody who's driving at a ridiculous speed, cutting through everything, they obviously get to their destination and now he needs a good nap before he can go to the beach. Whereas a guy who's been traveling slowly and comfortably, when he gets to his destination, obviously he can park his car in the parking lot and jump and run across to the beach and go and have a good swim. So yeah, it is very, very important that. Coming to the other thing, brother, as you were saying, regarding, you know, checking all the stuff on the vehicle itself, all the, you know, operation of everything else. There is some sort of simple way to remember this, and the word flower comes to mind. I think I've mentioned it before. Flower, the F is for fuels, right? Then you've got the L that comes in flower is for lights. You've got the O, which is for oils. Mm-hmm. The W is for water. The E is for electrics. And then obviously the R comes for rubber, which is tires. So there's a rather simple way that will give you a basic idea of how to check and what to check on your car. So just remember flower, and I'm sure you will remember what we have mentioned on air. And the other thing, brother Adil, as you said, alhamdulillah, to be courteous and buckle up also. You said very, very important, alhamdulillah. You know, we unfortunately, most of the fatalities we hear is due to not wearing a seatbelt and those sort of things. Before we continue any further, brother, I'd just like to give everybody a number. The number to call is 011-854-1548 with all your queries, questions, whatever you need. And obviously the SMS number is 083-287-0886. So I'll repeat that. It's 011-854-1548. I see brother Bilal, our engineer, is jumping around on the other side. He's got nothing to do. So I think, guys, if you can give us a call, maybe on that number, inshallah, we are ready to answer your questions. And the SMS number is 083-287-0886. I see brother Bilal has brought to my notice. I'm not too sure. I think it's more or less his question, but let's just see what it says here. It says, brother Adil, it says, not fair. Why not motorbikes? Why aren't we talking about motorbikes? Whoever the question is, I'm not too fanatical personally. I love motorbikes. I like looking at them, everything else. Alhamdulillah, we've had opportunities to ride them. But unfortunately for myself, I'm not an expert on motorbikes. I don't know if brother Adil has any sort of experience on motorbikes. Maybe he can say a couple of words on that. But if there's anybody out there, anyone out there that has some knowledge about motorbikes, maybe could give us a call and tell us something about motorbikes, and maybe inshallah even join us on our program, we would really appreciate that. Going back to the safety tips as far as the driving is concerned, brother Adil, alhamdulillah, you said courteous, you said we should be traveling with our seat belts. I think we slipped up on one that said speed limit, very, very important to follow the speed limit. It's there for a reason. It's important that we do follow all the speed limits. Overtaking, very, very, very important. You know, guys, don't just overtake where you cannot see. There are those roads. Again, we come back to the ABS system. That's not magic brakes. That is something that is just there to assist you. So, yeah, vehicle, traveling, alhamdulillah, brother Adil is covered as well as far as all your du'as are concerned. Very, very important. We should read the du'as, and inshallah, we shouldn't have a problem. Brother Adil, I see there's a question here. It says, assalamu alaikum. I don't know if the brother can help me. I'm trying to read the SMS, brother Adil. Today I've forgotten my glasses. Yeah, it's to do with the steering making a noise when cold. It doesn't say what car it is, brother Adil, but yeah, it says steering makes noise when it's cold, and as it warms up, the noise actually goes away. I don't know, brother Adil, how are you going to answer that question? Maybe you should take it as a general question and sort of give an answer on that.
Generally the power steering, if the oil is low in the power steering reservoir, the steering will generally make a noise when it's cold because of the oil level being too low, and when it warms up, the oil level rises and sorts of noise out. That is generally the problem on a general answer to most cars that will do that. And if you have other cars, that the modern day cars with the electro-hydraulic power steering can also make the noise because if the oil is low. So basically you have two scenarios there. The first one, the power steering pump, the oil level could be low. That's on your normal power steering. It works at the belt or the serpentine belt or the wheel belt as we know it. Or the electro-hydraulic pump, which oil can also be low. The other reason could be if the belt is loose or too much flexibility in the belt can also make the noise when the car is cold. So the brothers should check those two items, the belt first of all, and then the power steering fluid as well.
Jazakallah, brother Ali, for that information. Alhamdulillah. I hope this is benefiting the listener out there. I see we have another SMS. Alhamdulillah. I see Bilal is getting jealous because the SMSs are coming to me and no calls coming to him. So I would give you brother Bilal's number again if you guys could call him at 011-854-1548. And he will, inshallah, put you guys through to us here, inshallah, and brother Ali will be answering the questions. Brother Ali, another SMS question comes in here saying, Assalamu alaikum. I have a Mercedes-Benz, which is an E230. It's a 1997 model. The gears don't feel like it's changing. Could you please assist? Jazakallah wassalam. Brother Adil, I don't really fully understand, but it says the gears don't feel like it's changing. If the brother could just, or the sister, whoever it is, could maybe elaborate, but I think Brother Adil is...
Yeah, I can. It's not a problem, Hafiz Abdullah. The E230 1997 model, that's what you said?
GGG, yeah. That's what it says here. Yeah.
So the model designation for that vehicle is a W210, which we know is an E-Class in the Mercedes-Benz terminology. Gee, that car there, the problem with that vehicle is the car feels like it's not changing the gears 100% correct. The car is stuck in one gear, which we call the lump mode home scenario where the car gets stuck into one gear where you can actually reach home. The reason for that being is the protection of the gearbox components. So when the gearbox, the electronic side of the gearbox picks up a problem in the gearbox, it locks the gear into one gear. So normally into third gear or into first gear, whichever gear you have picked up the problem, and then you can drive the car to home or your nearest workshop and have it diagnosed. So the brother should take it to his technician or the Mercedes-Benz dealer and have the fault code diagnosed by the diagnostic tester, and from there you can diagnose the fault. The common problem on that car could be the electro-hydraulic plate, which normally sits in the gearbox, which normally is the brain of the gearbox, which controls most of the function of the gearbox.
Gee.
The other main culprit can cause it is if the oil is low in the base, in the gearbox can also cause a problem. So those two things should be checked, and inshallah you should get sorted out with that.
See, brother, they've come back to us and asking the question on top of what you were answering. I think they've predetermined the question. I'm quite surprised, because it says here, is it necessary to have diagnostics done before anything else is done?
Yeah, the best way to do it is to have diagnostics done, because the diagnostic fault will actually tell you and lead you to the cause of the problem. It will make it easier for the technician or for the person doing the diagnostics on the vehicle.
Gee, Brother Ariel, Jazakallah. It is very important, like Brother Ariel says, and Alhamdulillah, due to, experience, if you look at around us, whatever we do in life, if you are not sure, then don't just go and do something about it. First, be sure what you're doing, and then you do you get yourself involved in that. Gee, Brother Ariel, I still have another question coming, Alhamdulillah. I think it's due to our holiday questions and answers here. It says, Assalamu alaikum. How should I monitor the coolant quantity and levels in my vehicle? Is it quality or quantity? Never mind, it could be either or. But gee, that's the question. How should I monitor the coolant quantity or quality and levels in my vehicle?
Okay, I don't think the listener should worry too much about the quantity or the quality of the coolant level. If the car has been serviced, that should be the technician's worry, because he should ensure that when the car is serviced, that level is corrected and topped up if necessary. Because there's no way a motorist or a person driving a vehicle without any mechanical knowledge is going to know the quality or the quantity of the coolant level in the vehicle. That should be done at the dealership or the service center where the car has been serviced. But normally to check, if you want to check if there is coolant, then they normally come in a blue color or a green color. Or on a Mercedes, the clear color. So on a Mercedes, you won't really notice it. But if you put your finger into the coolant level, into the water reservoir, and if you feel it, it feels like a sticky substance. So that will tell you that there is coolant in there. And if it is darker than normal, that means there is enough coolant in there. But there's no way actually to test if the quality and quantity is good unless you go and buy a glycol tester where you can dip it into the coolant and then you can read the glycol content. But that will be more expensive for you to go and buy one like that. But normally, when the guy serves, that should be checked.
See, the other thing, the other part of the question I just see here is the level. Obviously, Brother Adil, most of the vehicles today have some sort of level sensors. Not for that, I think I've got a little froggy in my throat here. But, gee, most of the systems have some sort of level indicator to you. And then the other, I think, Brother Adil, we had a question a couple of weeks ago, if I recall correctly, is the sister phoned in and said that there was a problem. They didn't have a heat gauge in their vehicle. And I was like rather curious. She said there was a red light and a blue light. Maybe you should elaborate on that red and blue light.
Yeah, like you said, to monitor the coolant level in the vehicle, there's two scenarios to that question. Is one, the vehicle will be equipped with a coolant level sensor, which normally sits in the reservoir where you top up the coolant or add the coolant. If the coolant is lower than that minimum mark, that it will put on a light in the vehicle, which is normally a yellow coolant light, which will come on. The other scenario is, if there isn't enough, if there is coolant in the car, and if your coolant fan does not work, it will also put on the light. On a Mercedes, it will do that, and the heat gauge will go up. On a modern day car without a gauge, like you asked the question for the blue light and the red light, when you start the car in the morning, the blue light comes on, and after a couple of minutes, the blue light will go out. So that means your coolant system is in order. If the blue light doesn't go out, the red light will come on, and that will tell you to check your coolant level. So very simple, not difficult at all. If you see the blue light go out, you got no worries. If you see the red light come on, then you should tell them to it.
Then you start stressing, huh? The other thing is, you know, I actually had a client today, and I'm rather curious as to get a reply from you. I have given him his reply, and I said to him, I'm actually going to ask this question on air. Brother Muhammad, Jazakallah for giving us the permission to ask the answer ask the question on air. And the question there was, Adil, he says, after driving a little while, when I get home, I tend to, it's Mercedes Benz, it's the W204. Mm-hmm. And after a while, he picks up a bit of a burning smell from the back of the car. When he gets out of the car, he's parked it in the garage, and he walks towards the back of the car, he gets a bit of a burning smell. And my sort of opinion on that whole thing, as far as the back is concerned, Brother, I will come back to that question again. I see we've got a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Adil?
Ji.
Yes, I've got a 530D diesel BMW.
Okay.
Right. My daughter was driving and all of a sudden the car just gave like a, you know,
like a jerk.
A loud noise.
Okay.
Right. And then it had a whistling sound.
Okay.
So is it the turbo?
Yes, it could well be the turbo, because if you heard the noise, maybe a turbo pipe came off or
yes.
A turbo pipe cracked.
Right, okay.
The whistling sound you're hearing is a turbo wastegate, which is still spinning, because you'll hear the echo come through the hole, wherever the hole is, maybe in the pipe or the pipe came off. So very simple is take it to your technician or your mechanic and you just have a look.
All right.
Most commonly, a turbo pipe failed or the turbo pipe came off here.
Is it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the mileage is still very low, and I can't understand why it has done this. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay,
hey.
Okay.
Jazakallah. Thank you.
Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Adil, you know, we were on that other question earlier on. I'm going to get back to that question. But, for any, I don't know for what sort of reason it is, but lately we're finding that a lot of the turbo pipes are jumping off. Okay, perishing, I can understand, you know, due to age and things like that. maybe not tightened properly, or should clamps be changed, or what? Because I know a lot of them, like on the Mercedes, you get them, they've got a special flip that goes on.
You see, in the past couple of weeks, I mean, it's a valid question to bring up, especially at this time of the year, where we've been having a bit of unbearable heat. You know, the heat has been more than it normally is, because if you're looking at the thermometer nowadays, extra 4 or 5 degrees, which plays an important role on motor vehicles, because, you know, our vehicles, okay, they are tested to go up to that heat, but, you know, unexpectedly, most of the vehicles, that's why you're asking me now about turbo pipes, is because of the heat. Even turbo pipes, water coolant pipes, they tend to get hotter in the heat, with the extra heat we have in, and those rubber pipes swell up more and they get a more of a beating with the heat. So that could be a possibility leading to that. The other point to your question is those pipes should be checked at the every service. Physically checked by the technician doing the service on the car. So basically the turbo pipe should be nudged and pulled and stretched while you're checking it. The coolant pipe is the same. And with the coolant, you do a pressure test. It's compulsory to do it on every service when the vehicle comes in to check if there's no leaks and if the caps are all okay and the pipes are all okay. So if those things are checked and then after that the turbo pipes fail or a coolant pipe fails, then like we say, wallahu alam, then it's all unexpected.
Most definitely. It's like you say, sometimes, you know, some people expect us actually to go through right into the pipe. We can fit through the pipe and go see the inside what it looks like. But unfortunately, we cannot do this magic. We don't have these powers, but alhamdulillah. Arif, coming back to the other question regarding the W204, I hadn't had a look at the car, but my suspicion is we've had some sort of wind lately and plastic packets flying around. And I said to him the possibility exists that, he's probably picked up, because he's driven a little bit, the exhaust is warm, the plastic packet gets sort of attracted to the exhaust, and obviously when it cools down, you don't really get the smell, so after you've driven a little bit, there's probably a smell on that. Adil, anything else that you think, maybe diff, or maybe from the fuel tank, or any sort of thing like that?
Yeah, the most common culprit, like you say, you know, with this new modern day motor vehicles, the exhaust system gets really hot because of the catalytic converters. They actually get so hot, it glows red. You can't really see it because it's underneath the car. And a lot of times, you get guys parking, especially as soon as they come back from a trip, if they park in long grass, the grass actually gets on fire because that's how hot those catalytic converters get. So even driving on a road, that thing is an attraction to plastic. So if you're driving over the road and you go over a plastic, immediately it gets hold of the plastic and it wraps it around the exhaust and you get that burning smell. So that's the number one culprit. If there's any other smell that's causing the vehicle to have a smell from the back, then it should be checked urgently, because then it could be something going majorly wrong, because it's not very common that you get a burning smell coming from the rear of the vehicle.
The
normal cause is the plastic packers. They are the main culprits.
Yeah, they are the main culprits. Coming back to, it's just ringing a bell here. You know, we're not blaming anybody or we're not going to throw stones here. But, when you talk about the catalytic converter getting red hot and, you know, they shouldn't park in tall grass and things like that. I'm just curious, sometimes I ask myself the question then, you know, I think we had an unfortunate incident at the Istima in Mia's farm. I'm quite curious, you know, if that is not one of the things that could have a possible cause, you know, but we're not going to blame anybody or whatsoever. But alhamdulillah, now we've got a fantastic tip from Brother Adil now, is, once you've driven your car for quite a while, don't just park on top of anything, because you might just burn it, and if it catches a light, unfortunately, you're going to burn your vehicle as well. I see my brother Adil, alhamdulillah, we've got another question here, and Bilal is telling me he needs an ad break, but brother Bilal, I'm just going to ask this question and then we can go for an ad break. It says, assalamu alaikum, wonderful program. Jazakumullahu khairan. I have a VW Carry, it's a 1.9 TDI. Adil, I think this comes back to what we've just been talking about now. It's about a hissing sound, and added to that, it seems to be lacking in power. Could you please help? Jazakallah.
The hissing sound and the lacking in power, like the brother called now with the 530 diesel, most definitely you have a turbo problem. Or like we explained to the brother, maybe a turbo pipe failed or intercooler even failed. I forgot to mention it to the brother. Or a turbo is busy failing. So those are the three items you got to check. The normal that could go wrong with the no power. And that's the number one cause. The hissing sound already tells you a story. That there is something, there's definitely something leaking. If you get no hissing sound and the car still loses power, there could be other factors leading to the turbo not working, vacuum pipes, vacuum valves, vacuum actuators that can cause the turbo to fail or not to work. So the main culprit here with the hissing sound, definitely a turbo pipe or a turbo on its way out.
Gee, just kidding, just thinking about what you just mentioned now, would you rather have a hissing sound without power or no sound but no power?
I think I'll go for the no sound and no power. Because then I know my turbo is okay.
Okay, alright.
Because the turbo is the most costly thing to repair.
It is rather costly. And everybody thinks there's a quick fix to that. And no, there is no shortcut either to fix those things. There is only one way to do the thing, and that's the right way. Brother Bilal, you can now have your ad break. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're back with our regular program. Unfortunately for you, the listener out there, we have 10 minutes left on our program. So please, guys, hurry up. Give Bilal a call. And I'm not going to say stop sending me the SMSs, but like I said earlier, and Bilal has been jealous that I've been receiving all the questions. So inshallah, maybe somebody should make him happy and pick up the phone as well. And even maybe somebody can talk about motorbikes, could you give us a call? Brother Adil, I have another question. Alhamdulillah, very, very quickly coming up here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, I have a Toyota Corolla. It doesn't say what Corolla, what year model, whatever it is, but it says, when applying the brakes, the pedal seems to go lower than normal. Toyota Corolla, when applying the brakes, the pedal seems to go lower than normal. Brother Adil, maybe you could elaborate on something like that?
Gee, the pedal going lower than normal, there could be a few factors that can lead to that scenario. The first, the brakes should be checked. If the brake pads condition are good, the brake disc should be checked. The other thing should be checked if there's no leaks on the brake caliper or the brake caliper, the brake fluid lines going to the caliper. The last but not least is the brake master cylinder. That is the biggest culprit leading to that problem. The brake master cylinder seals are failing, so that's why the pedal will go down normal, more than normal. The other one that rarely happens and could be good advisable to check also is the wheel bearing play. If there's excess wheel bearing play, so while the car is moving, the wheel bearing will play and it could push the caliper in and out, causing the brake pedal to go lower than normal. So those are the few factors they could check and sort their problem out, inshallah.
Gee, jazakallah, Brother Adil Fred, alhamdulillah. Gee. Coming back now, I see the SMS number. First let me give you the landline, 011-854-1548, and the SMS number there is 083-287-0886. I repeat, 083-287-0886. Looking at the clock now, I see you haven't got much time left, so yeah, let those fingers do the walking on the phone. See, Brother Adil, coming back to, like you were saying about the brakes, the other factor that I recall very, very correctly, very, very clearly is, it says, you know, use brake fluid always from a sealed container. Obviously, you know, from what I sort of recall on my sort of studies, is that brake fluid tends to draw moisture from the air and things like that. So if the bottle has been laying open, your brake fluid actually is not, I wouldn't say null and void, but it's not going to be as effective as it is. And the other thing that it will cause is what we refer to, the plungers and the rubbers and everything within the braking system. It's going to cause a bit of a problem. And obviously with the result, it could result in a fatality, you know, fatal sort of serious stuff. So, Brother Adil, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Would you like to know, is BM320 model between 2009 and 2010 model a good engine? And is it expensive to maintain? And does it have to be serviced at agents, or can one use normal spares to service? Jazakallah. Would you like to know? Is BM would like to know?
Would like to know.
Yeah, would like to know. Yeah, would like to know if it's BM320i model between 2003 and 2010 model, a good engine, and is it expensive to maintain, and does it have to be serviced at agents, or can one use normal spares to service? Jazakallah. Brother Adil, your sort of response on that?
Gee, I'm not very knowledgeable as far as servicing a BMW is concerned, but I know you can use alternative parts to service the vehicle. There is some good quality parts out there. As far as the 320i engine is concerned, I have heard reports that the engine, I don't know if it's on this model or the previous year, they do tend to smoke a bit at higher kilometers, and the engine do give a bit of, they are troublesome at that kilometers as well. So the mileage is important on this vehicle if you're going to purchase it. So if you lower than 150,000 kilometers, there's still some room to get some decent service out of it. But I think above 160, 170, you can expect a few problems. But that is in any car today. So that is my view. But you know, coming back, I was thinking of Brother Bilal's question about motorbikes. You know, motorbikes today is we don't really realize the efficiency of a motorbike. You know, the fuel consumption you can save, and plus the natural air conditioning you can get while riding it. It has become a big far market now in our country. There's a lot of people turning to this little bikes. You know what they call this big boy and this Vespas, that they what they're normally known as. In
scooters,
yeah. The scooters are getting very popular, especially for school going children. When I was in India and in the Far East, it's very common. Everybody rides a scooter, and it's a quick way to get around. You just hop on it, you kick it, and you're gone. And the fuel is unbelievable. I actually hired one for a day. It cost me less than 50 rand a day to hire the thing. And it's so simple. You just hop on it, and you put your wife behind you, and you're on your way.
Yeah, but...
there's no place for the kids, but I'm saying...
Safety factor in our country.
That's what my next point is. Unfortunately, the safety factor, if people can only see the scooter drivers, it would be a whole lot better. But I think that's what most of the people's greatest fear. They worried about getting knocked over.
Yeah, no, that's rather unfortunate.
But I see now there's a lot of cycle lanes coming up all over the country. So, you know, maybe they can make a scooter lane.
Okay, maybe. But, you know, unfortunately, in the area I am in, a lot of times I've noticed that the cycle lanes have become, taxi parking and pickup points. So that's also another problem. I see, Alhamdulillah, we've got another SMS question. It says here, Salams, I have a VW Transporter 2.5 TDI. I had a problem with it losing power. After the turbo was changed, the problem still remained. Now I have been told to change the injectors. What is your opinion?
You see, the brother was losing power. Why did they change the turbo in the first place? You see, the diagnostics is very important to carry out correctly on a vehicle, especially on modern day vehicles. If the diagnostics are not carried out correctly, a lot of money can be wasted unnecessarily. So it's very important to do the diagnostic test properly. And don't be fooled by reading the fault code on a diagnostic machine. Because you must remember, the diagnostic machine is not going to lead you exactly and tell you how to fix a car. If that was the case, everybody out there was going to buy a diagnostic machine and read the fault and fix a car. The necessary checks, the pre-checks should be checked before carrying out even the diagnostics. You know, the normal pre-checks, this is coming now from old school.
From old school, definitely.
You know, the basic things should be checked before jumping to the diagnostics. So you check your basic things, your fuses, your hoses, your turbo pipes, your injector spray quantity, all things like that. Then go to the bigger things. So I think the brother with the
2.5
TDI transporter should have the diagnostic test done correctly. And even if it's a higher amount that he needs to spend, get a second opinion before he spends that money.
Definitely.
That is my advice to the brother.
Okay. JazakAllah for that, Adil. The other thing, brother Adil, I've noticed, you know, you're talking about all these diagnostics tests need to be done. A lot of times I have clients, many times have picked up the phone and says to me, "Bhai, you know, I have this car and I have this problem and I went to the net and this is what it tells me." Your sort of opinion, my opinion, you know, I really haven't fallen for it. I prefer to do the diagnostics personally instead of taking the answer off the internet. What's sort of your take on this sort of situation, brother Adam?
Gee, the Sheikh Google has come a long way. And, you know, there's a lot of good on the Sheikh Google and there's a lot of crap also there. You know, there are sometimes on some good forums where you can actually pinpoint your problem. And there are people with experience who've had those problems and they put their posts and their comments. That can be a great help to you. But like you say, just don't fall for it. You know, rather have it checked out and get a diagnostic test done. Maybe it'll cost you a couple hundred rand to get it done. But you know, if the diagnostic comes up with the same answer you have, then you know 100% your problem is sorted out. But a lot of times, also in the past, I've experienced that people come into the workshop and say, "Can you please change this part for me? I'll supply it." Many a times, I'm a person I get to always ask, "Why do you want to change that part?"
Correct.
You know, I read that part is faulty on my car and this is what my car doing. I say, "Please, can I first check if it is the part, then I'll replace it for you?" And most of the time we check it, it's not the part.
It's not the part. 100%.
Even a guy who comes in there, he says, "Please replace my shocks." I say, "Why do you want to change the shocks?" "No, because I got a knocking noise in front." So you explain to them, not only shocks can cause a knocking noise.
Yeah.
And plenty of times, the shocks will change and the knocking noise is still there. And a brother will come and say, "But I changed the shocks and the knocking noise is still there."
100%.
And I say, "Where's your old shocks?" "There's nothing wrong with the shocks." So you see, to change and to make money is easy to, you know, and you waste people's money unnecessarily. So it's always important to check the vehicle properly before you start spending. And today, vehicle maintenance is not cheap anymore.
It's going
to the thousands of rands.
Thousands, yes, most definitely, brother Adil. The other thing that that comes to mind regarding these sort of things is, you know, you get a guy who will give you a call and say to you, "You know what, my car needs a service." And you say to him, "All right, fine, not a problem. This is when you can bring it in, and this, whatever explanation happens." And on the day when he comes in, he says, "You know, I'm bringing the car in for a service because I've got a jerk on the car. I've got a noise on the car." You know, service is not something that is magic. If you do a service, doesn't mean the jerk will go away, because the service components might not be a problem. You might have a sound on the vehicle, which is not a serviceable part, and that is the reason it's there. So I would have a strong suggestion, guys. Don't just pick up the phone and say, I need my car serviced because there's a jerk on my car, or because this is on the car. Don't book it in for a service. Say and be rather direct and accurate and say, listen, guys, you know what? I have a problem with my vehicle. It's either jerking, or, you know, there's a sound coming out from here, or when I started, or I never had this before, or I never had that before. But remember something, a service is not there to rectify the problems on the vehicles. I'm sure you stand with me there, Brother Ariel.
100%, Hafiz Abdul, look, I agree with you there, because a lot of times even a customer will come in and you just because he finds something wrong with the car, he'll take the car into service. I mean, that's, you can't blame people, you know, that's normally that's what goes in people's minds. But it's good that the car be serviced regularly, like when the specified service is due, not only when you have a problem, come bring your car in for service. But service your car when it's supposed to be serviced.
That's
maybe
right.
Get a tolerance here and there, 1,000, 2,000 kilometers, whatever it is, but generally, even if you don't want to service your car at the kilometers, at least have it checked once a year.
Gee, and the other thing I noticed, brother, you say like 1,000, 2,000 kilometers, I've noticed one thing very, very, as far as your motor plans and things like that are concerned. I think they allow you a leeway of 1,500 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken. I stand to correction. Alhamdulillah, we have now run out of time. I'm saying Alhamdulillah because I can go home now. Alhamdulillah, we have now... Before we get away now, I see Brother Bilal is telling me, please don't call it today because we have got one last caller. Inshallah, we will try and help you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Jazakallah for taking my call last minute.
Ameen.
I just want to know, with this motor plane that you're talking of, I'm due for a service, and inshallah, we're going to Durban. Now, must I do the service before I go or after I go? Because the car is still in good condition. It's a Hyundai Elantra.
When is your service due?
It's due now, maybe in December.
Okay. And are you going to be overdue when you come back from Durban?
No,
by mileage?
There'll be a bit of leeway.
What I would suggest is you give the dealership a call. Give them your scenario and the mileage, and they will obviously be able to give you the better advice, because they are the one that sold you the vehicle with the sort of motor plan.
Yeah, because my question is that do we do the long distance first, run out the car, then do the service, then we got it for the next year good, or do we just do the service now for the long distance?
Your opinion on that, Brother Ariel?
You see, it's a bit of a difficult one. If the car, like you say, is going well, there's no issues.
Yeah, there's no issues.
Have the long distance check done.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, you do the service. Because, you know, also what can happen is after the service, you can pick up a problem. You know, a lot of times you take the car for a service, and after the service, you said, now you got this problem. That's Murphy's Law. You know, the car can be moving well. But then afterwards, you take the car for a service. Unfortunately, maybe the mechanic, he didn't tighten something properly, or he didn't put something back properly. Then you have a problem which you wouldn't have a problem. That's one scenario. The other scenario is you can not have a problem, and it could do a good job on the car. So my suggestion is, if the kilometers are still a couple of kilometers away, have the long distance check done, and then when you come back, you do the service, so you're good for the whole year again.
Yeah, okay.
Jazakumullah khairan. For the call, Jazakallah, Brother Adil. Alhamdulillah, we see Molana Raja is waiting here to, Molana Waja is waiting here to call out the news for us. Jazakumullah khairan, Brother Adil. And for all those who have called in, Jazakumullah khairan. It was wonderful, trying to be a host for the program. You have a wonderful weekend. We request special dua. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.